All right, ladies, thank you for that, and thank you for being here this morning, and I appreciate you coming. A couple things before we get started. Of course, we had a great couples retreat, and a lot of people were able to go, and that was very, very exciting, and I'm glad if you got to go that you were able to go. I would encourage you a couple things. If you got to go, I would encourage you try to clear your schedule out so that next year you can go again, kind of make it a yearly thing. I think that's good. It's good to get away. And it was a little different this year. We didn't have as many sessions as we normally had, and they weren't as long as they normally would have been because of the different restrictions and so forth. And we were glad that the hotel actually worked with us to be able to do that, as San Diego has recently shut down a lot of their different things. And so, and then if you didn't get to go, and I know sometimes your work schedule or whatever maybe could cause issues, but try to do everything you can to go. It's just a good time to something to put in your schedule that you and your wife or your husband, depending on what you have, that depends on who you are, not depends on what you choose. We had a great retreat. Also, the heaters. Let me explain with the heaters, okay? We're going to get heaters. Unfortunately, we called Lowe's this week because they were supposed to be in, and the manufacturer just called Lowe's and canceled their order. Just because it's because of all the shutdowns and everything, people have been ordering them nonstop. So we're not sure on the time frame now. We were supposed to already have them, and but we are going to get them. So I'm not lying to you when I said all this. We're going to get heaters for you, okay? And then, of course, you know, things they're starting to tighten the noose a little bit more, I guess is the way to put it. And our governor particularly, and I'm not trying to be against him if he had good motives, but I have a hard time trusting him when he tells you to do one thing and he flaunts it by not doing the exact thing he's saying. If he genuinely believed this to be bad, which if he did, I may disagree with it, but I'm okay. If he's doing it because he really cares about our health or whatever, and we'll follow the guidelines to the best of our ability, but when he flaunts it and kind of jokes that he can say one thing and do something else, I personally have a problem with that. Yeah. But, you know, there's only so much we can do right now. That to say, let's not backtrack on being the kind of Christians we're supposed to be because of all this. There's things we're going to have to do, and there's some struggles right now with the school, and that we're trying to work through that, and we have to be sensitive about that. But we're trying to see what we can do about that. By the way, I wonder why that's in the pulpit. Are they trying to tell me something? I'm not quite sure here. But let me just say this. Let's still be faithful as Christians, okay? Let's not let this sidetrack us. If you feel you need to be safer or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. Be safe, but let's not ditch our responsibilities as Christians because of this. Brother Goddard said something at the the couples retreat. He said, just because things change in our society doesn't mean that our marching orders from the Lord have changed. It doesn't mean that the things we're supposed to be obedient to from the scriptures has changed. We're supposed to do those things. And so let's not get too caught up in it. And I know our country right now, there's a lot of stuff going on and all that. But I'm still, regardless of what happens, it'll be a little harder if other things happen. But regardless of what happens, I'm still thankful to live in America. And I'm still thankful to be here. And by the way, Thanksgiving is this week. Again, something our governor has tried to cancel. You can only have 5 people in your house? Listen, if nobody comes to my house, I'm already over capacity. So Jack and Josiah will be moving out. Okay. And I wonder, does that count the cat and the dog now? I'm not quite sure, because the dog's going to have puppies, so that's really going to put us over, all right? but again, I wouldn't have a problem with that if he doesn't have a bunch of people at his house, which I'm pretty sure he will. But anyhow, we have a lot to be thankful for. We do. And even in difficult times, if everything goes down the drain, we're still thankful we know the Lord. And everything's going to be good for us at the end. I feel sorry for people that don't know the Lord and the confusion they have to live with and all of that. And by the way, I know they're confused because sometimes I'm confused Okay, sometimes when I pray, I'm like, all right, Lord, we need to have a talk here and help me with this, all right? I feel like the book of Psalms sometimes. But and so we have a lot to be thankful for, and I hope that you will be thankful as well. We are in a little series we're calling Real Christians, Real Christianity. And we're just talking about some things that will help us to be the Christians that God wants us to be. Just like with our series on Thursday night where we're talking about discipleship and we're talking about just being more than saved. In other words, don't just be content with being a Christian and being saved. Be the Christian that God wants you to be. By the way, in the times in which we live, our society does need real Christians. They need Christians that aren't perfect, but that are striving to live the faith as genuinely as they can. And we're going to look at a thought here from Zephaniah, okay? And how many of you have never heard a message from Zephaniah? Okay, yeah, I have. You're going to hear one this morning. So we're going to, that's another book in the Bible you can check off. Next week we'll do Amos, and then we'll do Andy and Fred and all the other books you don't even know about. In the 1840s, there was a doctor named Ignaz Samuel Weiss. He started working at the hospital in Vienna in 1846. Now, this is back before they had a complete understanding of germs and how germs worked. As he started working in the hospital, he noticed an alarming trend. A very significant percentage of mothers giving birth were dying. Now, he did notice there were two different maternity wards. There was one of them that were staffed solely by midwives. And then he noticed there was one staffed by doctors. He noticed that the death rate for the mothers in the ward staffed by the doctors was extremely high, whereas the one with the midwives was very minimal. He decided he wanted to try to find out what was going on. And again, he didn't have an understanding of germs. And so he did a bunch of studies. He did a bunch of trial and error, and he couldn't figure it out. He had to go away for a while to study, and he came back. He noticed he was told that one of the doctors he knew well had died. What had happened is he had cut his hand, and he had went into one of the mothers that he was delivering, and that mother died of the mysterious disease, which they didn't understand. And he also died of the same illness that the mothers were dying of. So he tried to figure it out. He had a theory. The only difference he could tell between the doctors and the midwives was that the doctors were performing autopsies. And then when they would get done with the autopsies, they would just go straight in and deliver babies, whereas the midwives were just solely delivering babies. So he thought there was something that doctors were getting from the dead bodies that they were transferring to the mothers. Now, he didn't understand it was germs. So he instituted a very, very simple policy. He said the doctors, before they went in to deliver any baby, were to go and to wash their hands thoroughly. You know what happened? The death rate dropped to the same levels as would be natural for that particular time. Now, you would think that he would be hailed as a hero, but the opposite happened. The doctors got upset that it made it look like they were responsible for the deaths in the first place, and so they rejected his theory. And not only did they reject it, they swept it aside. And if we can get help with that, I have no idea what's going on. Is it here? Huh? Okay. Hello? Okay, good. So see, they're acting like the doctors. It's the mic's problem, not the PA guy. What they did is they rejected it because it made them look bad, and guess what happened? No one instituted the policy, and the death rates went back up to what they were before. Samuel Weiss kept fighting to convince the hospitals that his method worked, although he couldn't really explain why. And he was rejected. He eventually got depressed. He eventually kind of went crazy and was institutionalized. But what was the problem? The problem wasn't that what he was saying wasn't right. the problem was that the truth was being rejected. That seems to be a pattern in people's lives, right? It's not that we don't hear things that are right. It's because of circumstances in our life or desires in our life, we reject the truth without ever trying to figure out if the truth is right. And we're going to look at that this morning. The book of Zephaniah is not one of the more well-known books to most Christians. It's the ninth book of what we call the minor prophets. Now, before the minor prophets are the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Now, when we say minor prophets, the last 12 books of the Old Testament, we don't mean that they're not as important people. Their books are a lot smaller, whereas the other prophet books are a little bit longer. And Zephaniah is the ninth of these last 12 books. Along with most of the prophetical books, they deal in some extent with the future. Much of the future that they dealt with was upcoming circumstances. A lot of it, the circumstances were going to be a result of their lifestyle, a result of their rejection of God and God's dealing and God's punishment towards them. Now, who was Zephaniah? He was a great-grandson of King Hezekiah of Judah, one of the good kings. And he was also a prophet at the time of Josiah of Judah, who was another really good king. He lived about the same time as Jeremiah. But his book is a book of judgment. By the way, God just shares the truth. God, in his really grace, tells us a lot of times, here's what's coming and here's why it's coming. Now, in some instances, if we've not went too far, or if they didn't went too far, if they didn't go too far, and they could change, God would alleviate or take away some of that judgment. But that's what he's talking about here. As we get to chapter 3, we see that the judgment is going to hit close to home. We understand if it's in the time of Josiah that eventually the Babylonian captivity is coming. Now, that's one of those judgments that God was very firm on. That's not going to change. That's coming. There's nothing you can do with it because you rejected me. And God said, now, I'll tell you how to survive it. But he wasn't going to take it away. But at this time, he is specifically in chapter 3 targeting the city of Jerusalem. He pronounces a woe upon them. Verse 1, woe to her. Speaking of Jerusalem, that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. Now look what he talks. He says she's filthy. That's the result of the rebellion on the outside. If your children come in the house and they're filthy, dirty, right? That's because they've let everything where they've been outside become a part of them. It's on them. And Jerusalem was filthy. They had a lot of outward sins. Now we look at Josiah, and Josiah had a bit of a revival, but it was not as widespread as we would have hoped. Now Josiah worked hard as he could, but some of the people, the rebellion was still in their heart. And God looks at the city and says, what a filthy city. Look at your outward actions. He says they were polluted. Polluted as a result of rebellion on the inside. Now, we do understand that what happens on the inside kind of taints or colors what we do on the outside, right? By the way, we could look at our country. I'll just be real honest with you. I'm not a prophet here, but we could say the same thing. He said they were oppressed. That's a result of their rebellion towards others. By the way, don't we see all of this in our country today? Actions that are seen as filthy and polluted are now presented as normal. By the way, let me just say this. It's not the message, but we'll go ahead and throw it out there. You have to be very discerning in what you're going to allow in your life. Yep. I cannot control what the world chooses to do and promote, but I can choose whether or not I'm going to be a part of it. Yep. I'm glad that a bunch of people bailed on Netflix when they started, and I don't even want to be, I got to be real sensitive here, with 11-year-old girls. By the way, the Hallmark Channel. Now they're showing movies where the couples in love are two men. I just won't watch that movie. Well, you watched our channel, they still get your money. Well, I won't watch that on Netflix. If you're still subscribing to it, they're getting your money. By the way, that's all they understand. And so we need to be very discerning. We can't let this stuff in. Filthy, because it pollutes our soul. That's what's happened to our country, by the way. The things that were seen as perverse 40 and 50 years ago are now seen as normal because the souls of individuals, the soul of our country is so polluted, it's just pushed off as normal. Killing babies, the whole nine yards, and that whole agenda. Anti-family, anti-righteousness. And that's what happened to them. And then oppressing. If you don't agree with them, you're bad. Whatever happened to freedom? Okay? And by the way, it doesn't matter what our country says. It doesn't matter what they push. It matters what God says. And if God says it, we better be in on it. But the city was going down. In verse 3 and 4, he talks to the leaders. And this isn't even a message. This is an introduction. In verses 3 and 4, he talks to the leaders who are leading them in the wrong path. Verse 3, her princes within her are roaring lion. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till to the morrow. Who are the princes and the judges? Those are the political leaders. By the way, you know how judges are supposed to judge? Not based on their political ideology. What's right? What's wrong? And by the way, what do we have? We have judges that look at things through a political lens. They don't look at things through the law. Why do you think they don't want the Constitution? They want to push their things on us, but they're hurting people. That's the point. Yes, I want us to fight in a, fight's a strong term, but okay, I like it, for our freedoms to the best of our ability, but that's not the problem. When those things are taken away and the government now has free range to throw whatever they want on you, people get hurt. That's the issue. But it wasn't just the political leaders. That's bad enough. Look at verse 4. Her prophets, it's a spiritual leader, are light. By the way, I am so sick of feminine Christianity. I am so sick and tired of little feminine sissy pastors. They want to come up and they wear their little muscle-bound shirts. The same kind of blouses my wife wears. And they're afraid to say anything and they just want to be nice. I'm not against being nice. I might even actually do it sometime next year. But I am against being nice where God's not nice. I read a book a couple years ago called No More Christian Nice Guy. And it wasn't even by a fundamental Baptist. And the guy goes, you know what's wrong with this country? We're too nice and kind and people are running us over. Once you back up once, you're going to get run over. And I'm not saying be mean, but whatever happened to standing up saying, this is what God says, we don't have a choice. We're light. Let's just sing songs about Jesus. You go sing songs. Because that's not the Jesus I serve. But we don't want to say anything. And treacherous. When the president of the Southern Baptist Convention will get up and say in his church about immorality and sodomy, why are we screaming when God whispers? I don't know what Bible he's reading. Years ago, I had someone come in and say, why do you guys talk about that? That's not in the Bible. I'm like, okay. Romans chapter 1. And brother 2, they were surprised that that was in the Bible. I'm like, we don't just say like, who can we pick on today? But there are some things that are polluting our society. And I cannot control the political leaders. I can try to vote for them if they're not trying to steal the election. I can try to vote for them. And I've done my duty if I did. But can't we control God's leaders? We're hurting people. And, you know, I'm not naturally a confrontational kind of person. I'm not. I've learned how to be, okay? You have to, you know, if you're a pastor, you got to kind of confront things. I get it. But also, on the other hand, I don't want to get up here and throw flowers when God says throw hand grenades.
don't want to get up here and just, you know, something's hurting somebody and just look the other way. You know, like I'm a doctor and I take your x-ray and every bone in your body's broken. I'm like, no, it looks good. Just don't be careful when you walk for the next 6 months. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. We got to be very careful, but let's get to the message. If we really want to know what the big issue is, the issue was the individuals in the city, okay? And again, this was God's, these were supposed to be God's people. This is supposed to be Jerusalem, the key city. And God calls them out, Zephaniah, and he gives them the issue in verse 2. Are you ready? And the message is verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to God. Key word there is probably not. That's not the title of the message. That would have been a good message, all tied up in knots, okay? That's not the message. Message is, what's the problem? You know what the problem is? One word. Reject. Okay, no. We'll stick with the Bible this morning, but that's probably true. Here's the key word. Reject. Reject. They rejected these things. Just like the doctors in Vienna rejected the solution because it made them look bad, even though it was the truth. God's people do that. We reject the truth simply because it conflicts with our lifestyle or it conflicts with what we want to do. Everything that God said about them, the way he saw them from a spiritual perspective, and we looked at that, was all the result of their choice to reject him. That is true in every Christian who struggles this morning. Yes, we live in a time when our political leaders are trying to push us over a cliff. Yes, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth. We live in a time when spiritual people are trying to push us over a cliff. It's amazing how many Christians voted for people that would kill a baby. Well, Trump was an adulterer 20 years ago. Okay, so you're going to vote for someone that would kill babies? Across the board? You know, it just amazes me. But let's just, that's easy to push, right? Because that's political. Let's talk spiritual, individually. How many things in your life, for you, do you reject? That's the truth, simply because it conflicts with what you want to do. Or you don't want to change. And the point is, I would be selling it short if I don't point these things out to us. Now, again, you're at church this morning. I'm not saying you're all rebels, but sometimes we kind of cafeteria style our life, right? We only pick and choose some things, and we're trying to go the right direction, but we're struggling because we're not completely buying into everything that God is trying to tell us to do. But the key problem for them was rejection. And he mentions four areas. And in the 15 minutes or so I have left, let me give you those four areas. First of all, they rejected revelation. Not the book of Revelation. They rejected revelation. Look at verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. You know what's particularly damaging for these people, particularly Jerusalem and the nation had already been split in half. After King Solomon, when Rehoboam took over, the nation was divided. 10 tribes, the northern tribes, Israel. 2 tribes were the southern tribes. We basically call that Judah. Did you know Israel, the northern, because of their sin, they were already taken into captivity. They didn't have good kings. Now, Judah kind of went back and forth. They had already seen God's judgment on Israel. They had already seen them go into captivity. And yet, they still, just like them, are rejecting God's voice. They don't want to hear God's revelation of his truth to them. You know, we have God's voice today, do we not? What do we call it? The written word of God. That's God's voice to you and me. And that is what we are supposed to follow. God's voice is how he speaks to us. By the way, God does not speak to us when you're sleeping at night. Mijo, wake up. That's not how he's talking to you. Well, I want to hear God's voice. Read the Bible. Just read it. That's God's voice. You know, if you hear a voice at night, you need to wake up. You probably need to quit eating a cheeseburger before you go to bed. Okay? I understand God leads us and God speaks to us through his word. When he speaks to us through his word, he's confirming the truth of his word. He's not telling us something that's different than what the Bible is saying. I've heard people read, they'll read a verse and say, God spoke to me and said this. It's like, that's not what that means. Okay, so we're kind of freaking out here. God's voice is what he wants from us. I know exactly what God wants in so many areas because the Bible makes it clear to me. And I need to understand that. God's voice is how he directs us. Now, again, I know there's things outside of the Bible that we need God's direction, but when it comes to the straightforward path of my life, it's pretty simple if we follow God's word. God's voice is how he comforts us. We want comfort in all these different things, but the fact of the matter is when we crack open the Bible, God will encourage us in the midst of everything that's going on. God's voice is how he protects us. What do you mean protects us? If we follow God's voice, we follow what he's saying, we will stay away from those things which would be damaging and hurtful in our lives. Amen. So often we just go blindly into a situation and we're going to get hurt because it's a situation God never wanted us to get into in the first place, but we didn't listen to him. We rejected his revelation. And God's voice is how he teaches us. But what's the problem? We don't want God's revelation. Let me read a couple of verses from 2 Timothy. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. You can write that down and look later. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, I think he's talking about the end times, and I think he's talking about our times. But after their own lust, don't think of lust as simply, you know, sexual sin. Lust is desires, sinful desires in a sense. That's the context here. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Do you understand what people do? They want to, if they're Christians, they want to find somebody who's going to say cute little things to them and not say any of God's truth because it goes against their lust or their desires. And the people they listen to who they think are teaching them the truth are actually diverting them away from the truth. Well, I heard this guy on the radio, and he's got this really good voice, and he's just so this and that, because he doesn't talk about anything. When he talks about sin or what's wrong, he doesn't apply it. He just throws flowers, and everything's good, and by the way, send your money to keep us on the air. But we purposely seek people out that will not tell us where we may be struggling in our life. Therefore, we're not getting any help. Listen, how many of you would go to a doctor and say, I hope he lies to me if I'm sick? I hope he says, man, I don't want to offend them. You know, you go in there because you can't breathe and you think you got lung cancer. He goes, hey, I just want to let you know your legs are great. Your heart's pumping wonderfully. And your brain still functions. No, I want him to say, hey, 95% of it's good, but that 5% is going to kill you. We got to deal with that. But we do that spiritually, do we not? Because we're at the end times. And a lot of times, let me just be honest with you, it's just carnality. We just want to do what we want to do, and we don't want God interfering. And we got to be careful about that, fleshly. So we reject revelation. But here's a second one. We reject rebuke. Verse 2 again. She received not correction. A big part of the job of the prophets was to let the people know when they were doing something that was wrong. In other words, they had to say, hey, that is wrong. How many of you would raise your children, I hope you're not doing this, that would never tell them when they're doing wrong? That would be irresponsible. Right? Your kids are doing something wrong. What's your job? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from them. You say, by the way, when your child does something wrong, don't get offended. Like, my kid got school at the demerits. It's a teacher's fault. You know, no, it's not. It's your child's fault. They got foolishness. My kids have foolishness. All of them do. They're born that way. It's our job to drive it out. Okay? It's not, well, that kid's just defunct. There's something wrong with them. No, they're a kid. Right? And you got to tell them, that's bad. That's wrong. Maybe that's why they struggle. Sometimes we don't do that anymore. But Christians don't like to hear that. I hope that, and there have been times in my life, many times in my life as a Christian, where it's like, yeah, I'm not doing that like I should, and I'm glad that I heard it. You come to church and say, man, you preached something one time that just really went against me. I do it to myself all the time. And by the way, if you come to church and you hear everything and nothing ever goes against how you're living, come see me. You're Mother Teresa times five. I want to know what's up with you, okay? How's that working? But we don't like correction. We don't like it. We struggle with it. Sometimes it means that we're going the wrong direction. Aren't you? Don't you want to get that fixed so you can go the right direction? Sometimes it means we may have strayed a little bit in a certain area and now we're doing the wrong thing, and I hope we would want to get right. Maybe we're kind of veering off and starting to believe a wrong philosophy. That's why we need the truth, because the truth helps us to get back on the path. By the way, you're driving somewhere and you're using GPS and you take a wrong turn. Well, the GPS says recalculating. And now it says, hey, now you need to go this way to get back on the path. We don't say, hey, don't tell me what to do. By the way, why is a GPS always a lady's voice? Some lady telling me what to do. I'll get the guy. Hey, turn right, dummy. Okay, I'll do it. Not like recalculating. Please turn left. You're going the wrong direction, dummy. Anyhow. But we're okay with that. You know why? We want to get back on the right path. We want to get to where we're supposed to be. And I hope that you want to get to where you're supposed to be with God. If you hear something that goes against you, listen to this. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, because that means all of us are bad. It just means, oops, got to make a little correction here. Up, I got to shore that up. Up, got to get back on the right path. That's constant as a Christian. And if you struggle with that, you're going to struggle with Christianity your whole life. Because let me just tell you something. You're never going to get to the place where you don't need that. I'm never going to get to the place where I don't need that. All of us need it. Next. They rejected reliance. Reliance. She trusted not in the Lord. In other words, when we trust God, that means we rely on Him with everything in our being, and we're willing to follow Him no matter what He says. Not because of what we're hearing that He says, but because of the one who says it. See, when we listen to the revelation of the Scripture, when we listen to the rebuke of Scripture, and we follow it, it's because we trust the one who wrote the Scripture. We trust the one who's talking to us. That's reliance. That's what faith is. I rely completely on God. I trust God completely. And whatever He says goes, and I'm in 100%. That's reliance. That means that I am not in control. I have to trust Him. I play a game with the grandkids, not often because I may drop them, but probably about a month ago, Stephen's girls were over and like, all right, we'll play the trust game, right? Like, all right, you got to fall back and I'll catch you. How many of you know I'm talking about? Yeah. Now, maybe they don't trust me because I let them fall a couple times. Okay, you guys still trust me? No. Here's how most people do it. They start falling back and then they put their foot, right? How many of you know I'm talking about? I think it was Charlie. Charlie totally bought into it. And then she did it one time when I wasn't ready. So that's kind of, but we trust, like, all right, I'm just going to trust you, Grandpa. And then I'm going to catch them before they hit the ground. I promise, at least before they bounce twice, okay? But that's the trust game. We need to trust God. We need to rely on Him. And if we would do that, these other things wouldn't be a problem, right? If God tells us something, or we've learned something from the Scripture that's going against what I'm currently doing, we're going to say, God knows what's best, and this will help me. We hear His voice and He sends His direction. We're going to follow it because we know that God's best and I can trust Him and He's going to take care of me. But we need to rely on Him. If not, we will struggle. If we do not trust the Lord, we will struggle in following his will. See, we'll look at things and say, this is what I want for my life. And God doesn't get a vote. God doesn't get input. We have to allow him. We'll struggle to obey his word if we don't trust him. We will struggle to give. We'll struggle to be consistent in every area of our life. You see, when we get into things, sometimes we sign contracts. You know why we sign contracts? Because we want to make sure that what we're signing, that what we're getting, the other end will fulfill their bargain. We don't trust them. And by the way, that's good. If you're don't just trust people. Okay, get it in writing. I'm sorry about that. You know, I'm gonna buy this thing and it's gonna, okay, get the writing, get all the details you need, because people are unreliable. But why do we bring that in with God? Lord, I'll do this, but you have to do this. Wait a minute. We mentioned a few weeks ago, here's the contract we ought to do with God. Get a blank piece of paper, sign your name to it, give it to the Lord and say, you fill in all the details, I trust you. Because he'll never steer us wrong. And if we can do that, it will be so much easier to follow him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's why we don't trust in him, right? Because we still follow our own understanding. But I like verse 6. He goes, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we just trust him completely and say, Lord, I'm all in on this, God will lead us in the right path. You say, but I struggle with that. Okay, I understand that. But you know what? God is trustworthy. And then lastly, they rejected a relationship. They rejected relationship. Verse 2, the very end. She drew not near to her God. See, the Israelites were God's special people. He was dealing with them for his purposes in this world exclusively. They were his people. And they did not want to have a relationship with him. They wanted to do their own thing. By the way, this is where a lot of our problems begin. If you don't have a solid relationship with God, you're not going to trust him, you're not going to receive rebuke, and you're not going to receive a revelation from him, because you're not spending time with him. You know, just because you're married doesn't mean you have a good relationship. I know people that are married and they don't even like being around each other. You know, the best method is, here, let me go away for a week. That's not good. That's not going to last. And if it does last, it's going to be a miserable trip. By the way, a lot of Christians are like that, are they not? They don't have a good relationship with God, therefore they're not following him closely, and Christianity to them seems like a bummer or a drag. It doesn't need to be. Why would we reject a relationship? To think that the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. Why in the world would we not take advantage of that? Draw nigh to God. That's a good thing, right? But the last part of that verse is really good, and he'll draw nigh to you. Like many of you, you probably sometime in your life liked somebody that did not like you. Now, I never experienced that. I basically had to say, hey, get away from me. I'm already taken, all right? Just stop it. Say, you know, I'll book you. I can get to you in 2 years from now. No, you know. God's not like that. God says, if you're trying to make strides to be close to me and spend time with me, I'm coming your way also. And yet, so often we don't take advantage of that. Why would we reject that? And times have been difficult for these 15 days to flatten the curve. It's been a really long 15 days. And there's been a lot of confusion going on. People have lost their jobs. We were out. My wife and I, we went up early. And I went up a few days early and I took her shopping. By the way, some of the places are really dumb. Which she wanted to go into, I don't know if it was a candle shop or a body shop, you know, where they have all this stuff, it smells good, and you got to choose it. She walks in, the guy goes, you can't touch anything. I'm like, okay. And then he says, and you can't take your mask off to smell anything. It's a fragrance shop, man. We supposed to guess? It looks like lavender, but I'm not sure it smells like lavender. My wife's like, well, how are we supposed to do that? And we just left. I mean, you can't smell it. I mean, what are you going to do? When he turned his back, I smelled something on the way out.
Show you.
Okay. You know, the sad thing we saw wherever we went, his store's going out of business. We were in the Seaport Village, and there was, you know, I'm looking for coffee. There was this guy, there was a coffee place. I thought, that's like a good coffee. I went over there, and the owner just happened to be there. They were getting it ready. I'm like, you guys aren't open yet? He goes, nope, talk to Gavin. He goes, okay, I'm like. Now, he did tell me we're one of his other shops. And, you know, I feel bad. People have lost their jobs. People have struggled. People are depressed. And it's been really, really not good in a sense. By the way, it's not been good spiritually. I'll be honest. And I will commend our church for one thing. As I talk to other pastors and, like, you know, we're meeting back together, but only a certain percentage of our church is back. And as I figure out the people that could be back, we're at a really high level for us. Thank you. But I know it's hurt people spiritually. It has. But can I just tell you something? If we would just keep our relationship with God, you can get through this. For the next 20 years, however long it takes. But see, that's where our problems begin. Let's not reject that relationship that God offers. Now, what's the problem this morning? Well, we can see what their problem was, and they were at the far end. Let me just tell you that. They were at the far, far end. But what about us? I don't think you're at the far end, but just let me ask you a couple questions. We'll be done. Do you ever reject God's revelation? In other words, if you see something very clearly from the Bible, do you still make it like, okay, I see it from the Bible. Now let me think about this and decide whether or not I'm going to do it. Do you reject rebuke? If you hear something or read something from the Bible that goes against what's going on in your life, do you have to stop and think about it, or you get upset about it? Are you rejecting trust in the Lord? Are you having a hard time relying on Him? And by the way, when things are kind of crazy in society, isn't it hard to do that sometimes? In our heart, we say it, but when things are coming our way, sometimes our heart kind of gets pushed to the side. Are we struggling with that this morning? Are you rejecting His relationship that He wants to have with you? Maybe if you're struggling in some of these areas, let's get this fixed. We don't want to end up at the far. What's the far end of these? The far end of these are polluted, filthy, and oppressing. We don't want to get there, do we? What was their problem? Rejection. And I hope that we're not rejecting any of those things. Let's stand together just for a minute. In the quietness here, I know I'm not having you come up to the front right now, but let's bow our head and close our eyes. You can do business with God where you're at. Excuse me. Are there any areas of your life that are up for debate when it comes to the Lord? Are there any? No, I'm not saying you would necessarily even consider yourself a rebel, but you find excuses and you find reasons to reject what God is trying to do in your life. By the way, you may, if you're traveling down that road and you think that you're getting away with it, let me just encourage you with something. Maybe the book hasn't been written yet. By the way, this was spoken during Josiah's time, and Josiah was doing everything he could to have a revival, and judgment didn't come right then. But boy, when Josiah was done, it came quickly. It came quickly. Now let's flip that. What happens when we receive God's revelation? What happens when we receive God's rebuke or correction in our life? What happens when we receive God's reliance in our life? We trust Him completely. And what happens when we receive His relationship? Good things happen. God's working in our life now. Things may be going on around us that we cannot control, but this aspect of our life is under control. And God is working in me. God is working in you. Maybe there's some areas this morning you feel like you need to clean up, and I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe you're here this morning visiting with us, and I would not be right if I did not ask, and you're not completely sure of your relationship with God. In other words, these things I mentioned are very hard for us to do, really, in fact, are impossible unless we're one of God's children. What does that mean? Well, ask yourself this question. Are you 100% for sure, without any doubt, that when you die, you would be in heaven? And you could give a reason why. Biblical. So here's a question. If not, if you couldn't do that, would you like to know that? If you're not sure this morning that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, but that's something you'd like to know with every head bowed and every eye closed, do me a favor. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure, but that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, just briefly raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody like that at all? You don't want to reject salvation. Our Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for how you want to work in our lives. And Lord, we are flesh. All of us have this sinful flesh, these desires that sometimes rear their heads in our life. And we have to fight it. I pray, Father, that we would not be by them. What was their problem, Lord? They rejected. I would pray that we would be Christians that would be open and willing to receive anything that you have, that you may work in our life and help us to avoid the negative consequences that come when we do reject. Bless us now as we go our way till we meet together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.